Never forget that.
This is Stuart McFerrin. I'm here on the front porch of Building 50 at the Traverse City State Hospital grounds with Sylvester Cy Day. And Mr. Day, you started working at the Traverse City State Hospital what year?
1955.
You must have seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yes. But they lived here until they died. No, they didn't have to. They didn't have any money. They could order. I used to order shoes and stuff for pants. And part of this building was a shop for stuff that people brought in to dyed clothes and shoes and everything. And when I worked Hall 6.
Is that Hall 6 right over
the
there?
The last one down.
The last one.
We had a porch on there. And I remember a patient come in there. Lake Leonaw, he was a star basketball player, and he didn't know beans. And I had a patient, a young guy, he was waiting to go to prison for 5 years. And he was from Bay City Handy, basketball player.
No kidding.
And I had a couple guys that worked with me, liked to play basketball. We got those guys out on that porch, shooting that basket. Playing three on three, and that guy snapped out of it, and that kid from Bay City, he was only 5'5". He was raising cane all the time and putting him in seclusion. I used to take him out of seclusion when I was just running that place and get him out on the porch with this other kid and another kid, and that Tom snapped out of it in about 3 weeks and got out. And 2 weeks later, he brought his girlfriend up to visit our hospital. Yeah. And this other kid got 5 years in prison. I got a letter from his mother. And he says, those guys tried to help me so much. He says, when I get out of this hospital or prison, I'm gonna go straight. Mm-hmm. I worked D3, and I admitted all kids from 6 to 17.
Were their parents usually with them when they were admitted?
Yeah, but they never brought them up to the hospital, up to the ward. We had to go down and get them.
So they said goodbye to them right there in the admitting
right
area?
Right there admitting. I met a lot of their parents.
The parents must have been pretty concerned, I suppose.
Well, they were. They were problem kids. All of them were problem kids. See, the doctor had to go through and interview them and stuff like that. And then they sent them over to the kid unit. But that wasn't here only about 6 or 7 years. Supercell.
That was the name of a medication?
The medication that he interviewed to this hospital. It was a tranquilizer. And it worked real good on older patients. I had on 35, you know, from 60 to 80-some. We put them on a little Supercell, and it was a relaxant for him. And he got new coffee pots.
Well, somebody else had mentioned that, the new coffee pots for every ward?
Every ward got a new coffee pot and what else did they? Toaster.
And it told
yep.
Nice.
I remember that. I remember Ferguson. We had a lot of good doctors, and we had some poor ones. One that tried to sue the hospital after he was let go. But what he'd do, I remember when I was working D4, he was working C4. The C4 Cs were women, Ds were men on receiving. He'd do an interview. And he'd take a package of old papers, and he'd tear them up in those little squares. And when the interview was over, pile about that high, he'd get up and walk out of the office and leave the patient sitting there. And he walked right out the door that locked and never locked it behind him. And he finally got kicked out of the hospital. I think some of those psychiatrists come to work at the hospital for themselves. We had our own surgeries then. We had two doctors that did surgery here, and Stokes used to come over from Munson. I had a patient admitted. He got out of the unfit for the Navy, and he cut himself several times. And he got over on Hall 6, where they could watch him close, but they give him a little ground probe, just an hour or so a day, and he went over here, knocked the window out, and ripped his leg open.
Oh, my goodness.
And they didn't find him right away because he didn't come back to the ward when he was supposed to. And they locked the doors where you come in the building. He died right there.
He was still bleeding.
He bled to death right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he cut himself sometime for it.
So we're looking at the back entrance of Stella's, the building where Stella's is. And so they found his body in the morning?
Building? No, 6 o'clock at night.
What about what year was that, would you think?
Well, that was, I was working Hall 6 in, but I knew he did it. It's probably 1980. Yeah. I retired in 84. He had to go down for his hearing. No. Well, then the lawyers controlled his hospital. And he told that patient, if you keep your mouth shut, I'll get you out today. His mother, he was young. And the judge was about almost ready to let him go. And his mother says, he can't come to my house. I don't care where he goes, but he ain't coming to my house. They said, well, we'll give him 30 days. 30 days stay in the hospital.
I see.
Now this building over here, when I hired in, see those old stacks? I used to park here and got covered with soot.
Oh, because that's the power plant.
Yeah.
It's the power plant. And they used to,
for the whole hospital.
And they used to burn coal in there to produce the electricity.
They had a great big pile there. Sure, it's coal dock. But then they converted it to gas. I remember when they used to, patients move the grass with push mowers.
With just those plain old, no motor at all?
Just push mowers. And one old guy, he pushed it upside down. But they just let him go, see? There it is. That's your porch. That was all screened in. All these were screened in.
Okay, we're looking at the porch right above where the entrance to Stella's restaurant is.
This was most disturbed patients were sent over here from receiving. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those were seclusion rooms.
Right here above Stella's.
Yep, but right here, this all was all screened, and we had a thing right there. And we'd come out the door, and we'd choose the whole thing. But patients used to come out here and had smoke. That's the place they could smoke, was out here on that porch. And the cracks in the smoke, and the patients would put their butts down there, and they used to store stuff in here, and they had a fire.
Oh, goodness.
And the smoke come up from there, and we run down, put it out for the fire department got here. Of course, we had fire trucks, but we use them for classes.
Let's see if this door is open.
Yeah, this is probably a circle.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, let's go in here.
They should have vandalized this. We used to bring patients from receiving hospital through the tunnel to Hall 6. This is...
So this is where Hall 6 was. There's a sign on the door that says North Coast Legal.
That was Hall 20. And those were just old timers.
Oh, I don't know if we're supposed to go out here. But
yeah.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yep.
There we are.
My assistant supervisor was Hall 20.
That's Hall 20 right there. We're on the back porch here of Ward 6, and we're looking out back at Hall 20.
That right there is where we had our fire trucks.
Oh, the fire trucks were in that little building there?
Yeah, that little building right there was our fire trucks.
Okay, that's where the Pleasanton Bakery is now.
Yep. And maintenance building.
The maintenance.
Yep.
I see.
Well, we had our own laundry, and they used to do our... When I first worked here for the first 15 years, I think, or more, we wore whites.
White uniforms.
White uniforms. White shirt and white pants. Used to get them at J.C. Penney's. And we had to wear a black tie. When we went off the ward, we had to button her up. Yeah.
And how do you think the patients responded to that?
They respected you more.
When you were in
when
uniform.
When you were white, yeah. But, of course, I always wore just like I am now, right now, after that stopped. I always wanted to look neat. 26 and 27, there's two wards.
The building beyond this one with the plastic on the roof?
Yep, and then...
And now what type of ward or patients were there?
There were older patients that are up and around. They could walk down to first floor for eat.
They had their own cafeteria down there?
They had their own cooks down there. And the cooks for this building cooked for the whole building, for women and men both. They took turns going to eat. When I come here, they milk the cows by hand 3 times a day. Yep, and those old guys. 36 were workers for the grounds. Yeah, they had all the guys that mowed the grass. Miners over here, we used to call it Swineville. Yeah, that's where they had the pigs. And over further, they did their own raising food. This was self-sufficient.
And so he died right at that door there?
Yeah, he died right at that door. We had that door, and then we had the stairway to walk upstairs, and that was a locked door. And my office was right over there.
So we're looking at the back entrance of Stella's, the building where Stella's is. And what was that building over there where Left Foot Charlie is?
That's the last one over there. That's the laundry.
Oh, that was the laundry building.
Yep.
Okay.
Where they had potatoes stored. Yeah, well, this was completely self-sufficient. I was born and raised in Alden. We moved to Rapid City in 1943. My dad went to work on the railroad.
Which railroad did he work for?
C&O. In fact, that was the old Pierre Marquette.
Oh, okay.
The old Pierre Marquette Railroad, and then it sold out to C&O. And when I first got in the Navy, I had a job waiting for me on C&O. Telegraph.
Did you work there?
I worked there for 15 months, 17 months.
And then you came over here to the...
My wife says, I want you home.
Oh, because...
When Mike was born, my little boy, she said, I want you home. Because we had the PM district was all of Michigan. Back then there was 8 trains a day. And what they could do, they could monitor that. And the trains, if there was one coming, one could go on the sidetrack and wait for them.
Morning.
Now, when I was a supervisor on 35, I'll show you where the building used to be. I had to walk through the tunnel over here to get the reports and then take back the nursing office. That was one of my jobs at night. Of course, I used to have another guy or two working with me because I had all the sick patients. I had 61 patients. And mine were any of the most bedridden. We had a patient over there, 23. He tried to jump out a window. And he ripped his belly open.
Oh my goodness.
Died right there. And when I was working on D4, I had two commit suicide. And they couldn't sleep by themselves. They had to put on one of the other patients on the ward with them. Of course, they had safety razors that they could come in the office and get and go down and shave and then go back to his bedroom, get dressed. And he said, I think a guy's trying to hang himself. And we run down there, it was right on the end of the ward. Blue.
Oh my goodness.
I answered questions with state pops all day. Yep, another kid. We had suicide and I found a net. A thing underneath the bed.
You found a
letter to his folks.
Oh.
It says you don't have to worry about me anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
He was on drugs.
Still 18 drugs?
18 years old. Well, he didn't know he had drugs before he came in. D3. D3 was older patients. We used to get a lot of alcoholics in there. That's where I learned to play euchre. When they got better. You know, they were most nice guys. They was nice guys. They just couldn't stay away from alcohol. But he was losing money on implements, and he got so depressed. He was 48 years old, and he ended up in the hospital depressed because he was losing money and he didn't know what to do. He comes down to the office at night and says, he says, you got time to talk? I says, I always got time. Yes, sir. Okay. And you know, he only had a 10th education. And we got him out here to school. And he got his
diploma?
Yeah. Anyway, he got that. My wife's folks lived in Muskegon. When we was on our way down to Muskegon, we stopped there. And he said, I got to show you something. He had one of these big farms. They had 120 milking cows.
Wow.
And we had to watch that operation. And he come down to my house. And I says, you got to stay for supper. Well, he got ready to go back to Traverse and go get a room. I says, you're staying right here. I live on Torch River then. He took his wife to Germany. And we got a letter from him and thanking me. That's what made the place good to work. To see somebody like that get better and get out. Or you couldn't stand to work here. Lake Leno, I won't tell you his last name. He was all-state center for Glen Lake on my ward. He didn't know what was coming or going. And when he got out, this was a month later or better, he brought his girlfriend back to visit.
And this is Cy Day. We're here on the grounds of the Traverse City State Hospital.
I got called in the Navy in the Korean War. And I had to go, and I was a senior in high school.
So you were only 18 at that time.
Yeah, and I had to go. all of us, all those that were in the service, reserve, had to go on active duty for the Korean War. And my superintendent, wonderful guy, he gave me some extra training that I had to work at night before I went in. I was the first one in our family of nine kids to graduate. And I was Portsmouth Naval Hospital going to training when it time for my graduation. My mom had to go and pick up those things with tears rise. She was a special person, I'll tell you, that woman. Orthopedics in the Portsmouth Naval Hospital.
Did you go overseas at all? Or
no, I went from there. It was right between Portsmouth and Norfolk, Virginia. And Norfolk was the head Navy headquarters for the east side of the United States. We used to see all these big battleships come in there and aircraft carriers and stuff. I seen the USS United States, a great big cruise ship that beat the Queen Mary across England by a day and a half. And you know, they couldn't afford to run that. You could buy a hamburger on there for 25 cents. And they didn't get enough to run it, enough people. And it went in dry dock down there in Norfolk, Virginia. Noah's a cruise ship.
Okay.
Big, fancy one.
Huh. I like your name, Cy Day.
Yeah.
Cy Day.
You know, when I was working on D3, everybody called me Cy. And some of them didn't even know my first name. And I said, well, I don't know any Sylvester Day here, but I know Cy. He said, that's my husband.
What's your middle name, Cy?
Marvin.
Marvin?
Yeah, I was named after my Uncle Marvin, my dad's brother.
Well, it's great to meet you. So.
Yep, glad to meet you too. Glad I can show you around.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a great tour.
Well, it's too bad. You know, the other side of receiving, they had 35 and 33. And on the other side of that, they had the new hospital for all the people had lung disease. That's the only one that go in there, TB, for the state.
Oh, wow.
For our division, from Saginaw, Lincoln, to the Sioux.
So they were all in quarantine, all those patients?
They was all quarantined.